We give each one a hearty welcome tonight to the gospel meeting. We appreciate your coming. We trust that you may get a word from the Lord that will be a benefit and a lasting blessing to your precious soul. Lord willing, we purpose meetings Monday to Friday, each night at 8 o'clock. At 7:30, a prayer meeting for those who are saved and free to come. And also after the meeting each night, for a short time in the basement, to pray God's blessing on the word that was preached and read in the hearing of the unsaved. It has pleased God to come in and save one soul. When God comes under the roof, when God works, who can hinder him? We need God. Christians, pray for God to move in the hearts of the sinners, that they might rejoice in this great salvation. If all these meetings are announced in the will of the Lord, and you're very welcome at every meeting. I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received the sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We read this portion on Friday night, but didn't see anything about it. Matthew 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now a final reading in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord without a blessing to the reading of his precious word. The grand theme of the gospel is salvation. There is no greater subject under the canopy of heaven than salvation. And I would just like to look at these three scriptures tonight in the light of salvation. In Luke's Gospel chapter 18, we have read of the opportunity of salvation. Here was the opportunity of a lifetime for Bartimaeus, the only one that he had, and he made himself available for his blessing, the blessing of this great salvation, the opportunity of salvation. We read in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, here's a man was offered eternal life, but he refused salvation. Now, he didn't say, I don't want it. But every time that the gospel is preached, every time that a sinner hears the way of salvation, they may not say anything, but they go on in their sins without Christ and without doing anything about it. While you may not say it in words, God weighs actions. And your actions say, no, I don't want eternal life. Now, if a person was offered $1 million and they wouldn't take it, we would say they were crazy. My friend, $1 million is nothing in comparison with this great salvation that God is offering to you tonight. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This man refused it. He thought he had something more important. There was to him his possessions. Do you have anything in your life more important than salvation? Than knowing your sins forgiven? Come what may, all is well with your soul for the great eternity. The refusal of salvation. Well, we read in Isaiah chapter 53. Here we have the plan of salvation. And this is not man's plan. This is God's plan of salvation. This is God telling the sinner how they can be saved. You know, sometime before a person gets salvation, they have many ways schemed up in their mind how they're going to get it. The soul that gets saved, it requires a complete surrender and simply willing to take God's word for it in order to be saved. What's God's plan? God sent His Son. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. In other words, he was chastised for sins that were not his. Salvation is the answer to that question. Whose sin was he chastised for? 42 years ago, I found out he was chastised for mine. He took my place on dark Golgotha's tree that I might be saved. God's plan of salvation, one taking the place of another. Christ took my place, died for my sins. He says, beg him, do you believe it? I took him at his word, that my sins were paid for in full. And the moment I did, I was saved for the great eternity. Now the opportunity of salvation. There are souls this time last Sunday night had the opportunity of salvation. They don't have it tonight. A young man that I preached to many times, many, many times, just got married 1 month ago yesterday. Driving home on Friday night in Nova Scotia, he listened to the gospel, brought up in it. Oftentimes he had thoughts about his soul, but as far as we know, never got saved. Driving home Friday night, fell asleep at the wheel, right head first into a tractor trailer. The police came to his parents' house. They said, "Your son has been killed out on the 101 highway." But the policeman, trying to comfort the parents, he said he never suffered a thing. Killed on the impact. Oh, that was heartbreaking to those parents. They have expressed, if he had had 5 minutes, we would have thought, maybe in that 5 minutes he'd have got saved. The friend killed on the impact, married 1 month, tonight in eternity, in his early 20s. Ah, dear soul, the opportunity of salvation, Bartimaeus had won. The Lord Jesus came his way once. He was on his way to the cross. Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging. He heard the multitude pass by. Here was an opportunity. My friend, it was a priceless opportunity. In this gospel meeting tonight, if you are not saved, God is giving you a priceless opportunity. You may never have another. Last Sunday night, I have no doubt, that young man never thought that he would not be around tonight in this meeting. You don't think you won't be around next Sunday night. The Lord may come, and every born-again soul in this meeting will rise to meet him, no matter where they are. Those who have died who were saved, they're going to hear that shout. That's going to be quite a shout. The Lord Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." That man who was dead 4 days, he responded. He came forth. Oh, the power of the word of the Savior. May it pierce your soul tonight. He said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now that's simple. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's an invitation to come to Christ, but there is a qualification. Those who are heavy laden, burdened with sin, wanting rid of their sin, He's willing to take your sin. He bare our sins in His own body upon the tree. When He bare our sins, did He bear my sins? Thank God He did. And that is as my substitute. He died in my place. The opportunity of salvation. My friend, you have a priceless one tonight. The opportunity of salvation, you have a present one. God doesn't say you'll have the opportunity tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So it's very present. That's in this meeting tonight. It was present with Bartimaeus. The Savior was passing by. We see the earnestness of this man, this precious soul. He began to cry out, "Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd said, "Hold your peace." Have the crowd changed? Not one bit. There's no crowd of unsaved people trying to urge you
to get right with God before it's too late. Not one. The crowd is against the soul that desires salvation. But this man was earnest. Now we have said before in these meetings, earnestness is not salvation. But there's nobody gets saved who is not in earnest. Are you in earnest? You could attend gospel meetings all your life. Know you need to be saved. Know the way of salvation. Die in your sins and go down to hell. Why? You never got down to business. Those who put things first, spiritual things, salvation first, they're the kind of people that get saved. Here's Bartimaeus, an opportunity of salvation. Friend, you have that opportunity tonight. I was thinking today of a man in Nansaloo, Labrador. Brother Joyce and I had meetings there in 1973. We had meetings there since, but it was during the meetings in 1973. There was his wife was in the assembly, and he wasn't saved. And he came to the meeting. One day we went to visit him. In his own living room, he said, you know, there's been only two times in my life whenever I really wanted to be saved. He said that was when Mr. Harris came here first. He said there was one Sunday night he preached the gospel. And in that meeting, I would have liked to have been saved. But he says, I didn't get it. He says the other occasion was whenever Mr. Bergsma came here. And there was one night that he preached. And I had serious thoughts. I almost stayed behind wanting to be saved. But I didn't. Now he says, you two men are here. Your preaching doesn't even fizz on me. Well, we did our best. But whenever the Spirit of God leaves a soul, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Those meetings closed. In a short while, he was up further north, operating a bulldozer. One morning at 10 o'clock, around 10, the bulldozer was, the engine was going. He was sitting on the seat, but it wasn't moving, and hadn't moved for quite a while. There were some people saw it, and they wondered what was wrong. Whenever they went up, a corpse sitting on the seat. The RCMP were informed in Fort Oak, further down the coast. They went to a preacher and asked him to break the news to his wife. That preacher went to the house. The wife was just leaving with two other ladies to go shopping. He said, I would like to speak to you alone. She went back into the house. She says, what's wrong? He said, Wallace has been found dead, sitting on the bulldozer. That woman threw up her arms. She began to scream. Oh, she says, I wonder. The preacher tried to calm her. What do you wonder? I wonder where he is. If that man missed Christ, can you think tonight, can we get borrow your mind for a moment, to think of a man in hell who could look back to two occasions in his life whenever he had the opportunity of salvation and he would like to have been saved, but he didn't go in for it? There may be a soul in our meeting tonight. My friend, you look back from hell on this night that you had the opportunity of salvation, that you were told about it, but are you going to get it, or are you not? A priceless opportunity. A present opportunity. Friend, it's a personal opportunity. It's your opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, we trust you'll get down to business and get right with God. because God deals with souls. As I thought of that young man, Stuart, Proverbs 29 and verse 1 came forcibly into my mind. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That young man grew up in the gospel, had every opportunity of getting saved, but he never thought that would ever happen to him. You don't think it's going to happen to you. I could go on. The preacher that preached my father's funeral this year, he had a son brought up in the gospel, sat for series of meetings, oodles of them, left home, went to South Africa, killed in a car accident. That's what men say is an accident. There's no such a thing as an accident with God. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. If this is the night of your appointment with death, it doesn't matter where you are. The best physician might stand over your body. He can't do a thing. Whenever our time comes, we're leaving. We're leaving town, and we're not coming back. Friend, this is your opportunity. The crowd said, Bartimaeus, keep quiet. Did that make him keep quiet? He cried so much the more. We have a beautiful illustration of salvation in this man, Bartimaeus. I believe there's some in this meeting tonight, and you've tried to get saved in the past. And you think, well, I have called. But yet the Savior passed on. Did Bartimaeus only call once? Ah, no. When they said, keep quiet, he cried so much the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, this was his opportunity. He wasn't going to miss it. Let the crowd say what they like. He wanted his sight. He got his sight restored. But he got something better. He got his soul saved. The Lord Jesus said, thy faith, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Ah, he had trust. He had confidence. He put his faith in Christ for his sight and his soul's salvation. Faith in Christ will save ye. The opportunity of salvation. But the refusal of salvation. This young man was interested. Come running to the Lord Jesus. Interested in eternal life. Did you come to this meeting tonight? Interested in eternal life? You could not have a greater interest in anything greater than eternal life. Well, we trust you have. This young man came running. The Lord Jesus said, one thing you're lacking. There's only one thing between you and salvation. Go sell all that you've got. Does that mean I've got to sell my house and empty my bank book? All that I've got to get saved? No. What does it mean? It simply means this. This young man loved his possessions more than salvation. If there's one thing in your life means more to you than salvation, friend, you'll never get saved. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek it tonight. The plan of salvation? Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was bound on the altar. Abraham raised the knife to slay the son. God said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. He looked behind him, he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. He loosed Isaac, took the ram, bound the ram on the altar. Couldn't Isaac stand back? Look at that ram. That ram's in my place. He saw that knife raised, that same knife, plunged into that ram. Blood was shed. Isaac was free. Substitution. That ram died for him. Come outside Jerusalem's walls. Three crosses standing side by side. Oh, what a sight sublime. Two for their own transgressions died. See the middle man? He died for mine, for my sins. Behold the Lamb of God. Trust Him. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for William Bingham, the ungodly. Or, Christ died for the ungodly William Bingham. Put it whatever way you want. That's salvation. Believe it tonight. May God help you. For His name's sake.